gather to join.
Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
That's how I come alive. That's how I change my world.
Time is fast spent. I want us to move into the Word of God. As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Unfortunately, today we don't have the means to project. So I'll ask all of us to take our hard copy and then soft copy Bibles. Yeah, we are in the world of technology, so I can suggest take your hard copy or your soft copy Bible. Let's open to the book of Numbers chapter 23. We are reading from the verse 20 to 24. Are we all there? That's our first reading. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. Just now, it now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, as a people rises like lioness and lifts itself up like a lion, it shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Hallelujah. Our second reading, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the verse 10. All right, let's read. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The last one we are reading together, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. They are all reading together. As the custom is, let's go. Put on the whole armor of God. Are you reading with me? Good. Let's take it again. Put on the whole armor of God, and that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. It pleases the Lord that we meet today to continue on the matter of we are at war. Last week, many of us couldn't make it to church. Last week too, I was not here. I had to be in Volta region with Pastor Adams. So greetings from Volta region to all of you. And it was a great time in Volta region. Today we are here, and last 2 weeks we started lesson number one in the school of what? Warfare. Is that not so? Today we want to take lesson number two. Amen. So today's lesson number two is titled Wiles and Devices, Part 1. So today I'm going to introduce you to the concept of wiles and devices, and then in the subsequent times we are going to look at them in terms of what they are. So today we're just going to do the introduction to it. Amen. Now, our journey so far on the matters of warfare has brought us into the school of warfare, and I believe you all know why we've landed in the school of warfare. I hope we all know why we are in the school of warfare. And in the school of warfare, we all look forward to become like David in the book of Psalms 144, where our hands are trained for war and our fingers for battle. And we know that God training the believer or training a person's hand in war stands for effectiveness in the authority that God has given to the person. And God training the fingers of a person in not battle stands for efficiency and skills, precision in the ability of what? Exercising that authority. So when we say that our hands have been trained in war, we are talking about how we gain strength in exercising authority. That is what? Dominion. And when we talk about our fingers trained for battle, we are talking about the precision and the efficiency in delivering of what? That authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I want to hear you. Can you hear me? So I want to hear you too. So our journey in this new sub-series, which is talking about the school of warfare, is to examine our effectiveness and efficiency in the authority God has given to us. That is, how much better have we become as students in the school of warfare, and how is it manifesting in our daily lives? Now, the reason why we are looking into this whole matter of the school of warfare is not that we are now being enrolled into the school of warfare. We all know that as a believer, from the very lessons we took from our first message under the school of warfare, we are already enrolled into the school of warfare. Let me even tackle that. So let me tackle that aspect. Now, in our first message on the message of the school of warfare, what was the title of the message? I want to see those who are with me. The first message on under the school of warfare. Pastor should say it. Hands for war, fingers for battle. And in that first message, we find out that the believer, from the very onset, being born again, is born into a hostile, hateful, induced, violent environment. And remember that we use the research of modern training or modern culture of countries who has modernized or has put into the life of the civilians a military training. Remember the story that I gave concerning the people of Israel, the modern Israel, that among all nations in the world, they are the only nation who has been able to make sure that the civilians do not only be civilians, but are trained in military or intelligence. They are equipped and they are trained that because of what? The hostile environment they found themselves. So every believer and every born-again Christian is raised and trained with a military mindset. So if you look at the scriptures, okay, let's read some scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Can I get a microphone and a reader so we can move fast? Microphone and a reader. Help us. Oh, Carissa, you can read. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Now, look at the description Paul gave to Timothy over here. Now, yes, what did he say?
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Verse 3.
Yeah.
You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life.
Yeah.
That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
Okay. Do you hear what he said? That Timothy is an enlisted what? Soldier. And we all know that Timothy is also a Christian, equally like us. Are we on the same page? So that establishes the fact that one of the things that has happened to you when you become born again is that you are an enlisted what? Soldier. That means that your life is not the life of civilian. You cannot be a civilian. So the school of warfare is not to talk about now you being enlisted. You're already enlisted. The question is, how well have you been able to what? Train yourself. Said, look at what Paul said to Timothy. He said what? Be a good soldier. So we want to find out how good are we as soldiers, and that we have to check our effectiveness in authority and efficiency in what? Authority. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Amen. Are we on the same page? And the reason is, as I said, because the immediate environment of every believer is a hate, violent, induced atmosphere where the only way we can take things is by force. Now, if you were able to watch my birthday message to you, that was what I sent you. That was what I shared on my birthday. And I said that the believer cannot get anything on the factor of diplomacy and not gentility. There's nothing like diplomacy and gentility when it comes to dealing with the devil. He doesn't answer to diplomacy. Because from the day that John the Baptist was born and started his work, the Bible said that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Which means that the devil recognized the presence of the kingdom and decided that the only way he would deal with the kingdom is violence. And said, so then the violent shall out. Now that violence shall take it by force was not to the only the kingdom. The person who is violent enough. So if the kingdom of darkness is violent enough against you, he'll take it by force. And if you are also violent enough, your violence is stronger than that of it, you will take it by force. So it is the issue of violence against us. Violence, aura for aura, boast for bass. You get the whole thing. So if you see a believer, I'm there, oh, my blessing will come to you. As I said in that message, I promise you, you will die poor. It's a promise that will come to pass. You must also face, so we must face the devil equally with the violence. So I said that one character of the believer is that the believer is never gentle. The believer is a violent being. The believer is never gentle. If you like, go and ask witches, they'll tell you. They know how violent the believer can be. Amen. Amen. So hence, no believer can live to the fullness of their newfound life and enjoy it in satisfaction on diplomacy, as I said. Now, so we established on the school of warfare, the first message is that because of the hostile induced environment that we are, remember the message that I said that Jesus himself said, the world hates them because of the message I gave them. But he said, do not take them out of the world. Rather, keep them from what? The devil. So the Bible said that we should not take us from the world. It means that Jesus knew that he has armed us enough to be able to survive in the world. Are we on the same page? So now let's move into what we want to talk about today. So as you are here in the school of warfare, what we are moving through, you have to assess yourself in how best or how effective you are. Now, the first lesson that we took for the assessment of ourselves was called the lesson of what? Profiling. Hallelujah. So we began to look at what exactly the school of warfare teaches. We found out that the first lesson in the school of warfare is knowing the true enemy you are dealing with. And this concept is called what? Profiling. And the message title is that we do not war against the what? The flesh. Now, what is the teachings of this lesson of profiling? Profiling is to separate the true adversary from the proxies he used to advance his violence against us. Today, I wanted to do a little teaching with the marker, but I'll hold it for next week. Next week, I'm going to give you a very nice diagram of the syndicate of the devil. No, the criminal syndicate of the devil. How? Because we are looking at it. I'm going to show you. We're going to do pure demonstration on the board. Hallelujah. The devil is a very wicked thing. And you look at the system. So now, the first lesson in your maturity or in your training in school warfare is to separate the mastermind from the proxies. What do I mean? The mastermind is so good at hiding behind his proxies to attack, such that if you don't take care, you putting your violence on what? The proxies, who should not be the one suffering from your violence, rather than the mastermind. Let's read the scripture here to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Profiling is a very needful lesson that every believer must learn, so that he doesn't channel his violence on the personality who does not deserve the violence. Now look, let's read it. Yes, Matthew chapter 16 verse 23. Yeah.
But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Now listen to what he said. He turned out. Read it that place for me. But, he turned what?
He turned and said to Peter.
Who is that? He turned and said to who? Peter. Then now what did he say?
Get Satan. Behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me.
So hold on over there. Now this is Jesus doing a proper profiling of who he was dealing with. The proxy was Peter. And when we talk of a proxy, we are talking about somebody who is a part or the one who is being used to execute what? Something against you. So the person is actually not the mastermind, but the person is being instigated or used against you. I know you have heard of the story of the xenophobia, right? And you know the lady who is leading it. What is her name? Jacinta. Have you seen that Jacinta has not lifted a hand against anybody? Right? But you see how people, by her instigation, have come proxy to his xenophobia attacks. So, the mastermind, if we want to stop this act of xenophobia going on in South Africa, you have to deal with that woman. The moment you are able to shut that woman, or the one at the top of her, sponsoring her to continue what she's doing, the whole thing will stop. Are you following me? So Jesus was showing us how proper profiling is done. Peter called Jesus and rebuked Jesus. God, you cannot say you want to die. Jesus didn't say, Peter, get thee behind me. He turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew that Peter was just a means. And he channeled his violence against what? The devil. I want to ask you, how many people have you used your anointing to kill? Rather than dealing with the one who is using them to attack you. Profiling will just help you to separate that innocent auntie who the witch or the witchcraft has taken her and is coming. So you don't die her by fire. You deliver her from fire and then you die the spirit by fire. Now the issue is that the mandate of the kingdom you belong to is to save people. Jesus came to die for everybody, not you alone. So the moment you condemn somebody with the violence in you, it means that you have denied the person the opportunity to be saved. And that's what the devil wants to use you for. That he will use you and the power in you thereof to destroy that which God didn't want to be destroyed. So profiling will let you know that even that auntie who is being wicked towards you, you are not dealing with her. That is when you learn to forgive. If you understand profiling, you will learn to what? Easily forgive, because you know that you are not warring against what? Flesh and blood. The person who is behind your pain is not the physical being you are dealing with. Do you get it? It is a spirit sponsoring it. So therefore you go for the enemy behind the scene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you on the same page? Now let's look at another picture in the book of Luke chapter 9. The book of Luke chapter 9. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 51.
Okay. Luke chapter 9 verse 51. And I read. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go on to Jerusalem.
Okay.
And sent messengers before his face.
Yes.
And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said,
"Watch, listen to what they said,
Lord,
yes,
do you want us to command fire to come down from
somebody
heaven?"
Somebody say, "Shout fire!" Oh, I said, "Shout fire!"
Fire.
And what he says to them?
And consume them just as Elijah did.
So you see, they have a reference point. You see, they were able to secure a legal means from the word of God, scripture, to be able to do what they want to do. Let's look at what Jesus said.
But he turned and rebuked them.
Jesus didn't stop him. Yes, you don't understand rebuke. He rebuked them for even having the thought.
And said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
So you see the agenda here. The Son of Man did not come to destroy man's life, but to what? Save them. The Bible said the Lord does not take delight in the death of a sinner. Now watch this. When the disciples saw the attitude and the actions of the people, they thought that they were dealing with physical beings. So they said, let the fire of God consume them. But Jesus said, that's not the manner of people you are. The manner of people you are the people who rather save them from who is using them. So lesson number one in spiritual warfare, school of warfare, is that proper profiling must be done before an attack. Else, you attack the wrong person and then you answer for it. See, the blood God will ask you. And I just want to help you. So anytime you... Hallelujah. I gave an example last week and I said, imagine you having a father. And then that father has been so wicked to you that he decided that to take care of you, you rather buy a goat to wear and then feed on it. Spend his money on alcohol, women and everything. You suffered in the hands of family members and all kinds of people, being treated as slaves in very many homes. And by the grace of God, somebody say the grace of God, you were able to make it in life. You are doing. Then one day they call you to tell you that, your father. So the example that I was given, They called you that, oh, this man has suffered stroke, and that you are the only one in that capacity to help. You know, that demon in you will tell you that this man, God has punished him for me. The Lord has done it finally. Finally. The Lord has done it too finally. In your mind, you thought that you were fighting your father. In your mind, you think that what happened to you, your father is the person. But deep down, there's an altar who saw the star. There is a power that saw how far you will go. And then your father became a medium who was available to use. And he used it against you. You will be at fault to think that you have to punish him for his deeds. If he die without you not helping him, God will ask you. That is what profiling will teach you. That you were not fighting your father. You were fighting. That is why no matter what he has done to you, or no matter what your mother has done to you, there is a place to forgive. Could you imagine that Jesus told them, forgive them, for they know what they were doing? Imagine Stephen being stoned. Imagine Stephen placed the curse. Do you know that Paul will never be poor? Oh, you didn't know. Stephen would have denied us one of the best of the best. Because the one who supervised his killing was Paul. He collected the cloaks of the young men so that they could have free hands and that there can be power in what they were doing. He was there to motivate them, encourage them, push them. And they killed Stephen. What did Stephen say? He said, Father, forgive them. Imagine Stephen said, Lord, don't forgive them. The blood of Stephen would have been on the head of Paul. And Paul wouldn't have been who he is. So, profiling will teach you that though you walk in the flesh, you do not war against the flesh. And it is one of the things that we have to see. Most times we kill the people we think that they are doing us, and the altar is there waiting for you. Then you find his next victim to use against you. You kill your grandmother, die by fire. He takes your auntie. Your auntie, you kill, die by fire. You can't for the next auntie. So by the time you realize, you are helping the devil to what? Send your people to hell. There are a lot of people. See, I'm not saying that people cannot die as a result of prayer. But it's not because you ask for their life. I don't know if you understand the question. Okay. Let me tell you one thing my late father warned me about. He told me that one day in prayer, God came to me and told him that the covenant he has with him and his descendant is that whoever stands against them, he, the Lord, is against them. And if we even demand for the life of the person, he, the Lord, will kill the person. But the blood, he shall ask from us. I said, which kind of permission is this? So, therefore, when anybody comes after us, don't retaliate. That's what my father told me. It is a lesson I've carried with me that no matter how, that's why if you offend me, I'll tell you to take it out of my heart so that I don't go to my prayer closet and out of that bitterness I utter a word. Because you will die. You surely die. It's a standing covenant, I know. And I know it will work. But I can't answer for blood. Blood is expensive. I don't know how God created it. I can't answer for it. So when somebody offends me, instantly I go to the person to settle my score so that I don't carry. So I don't have anybody here in my life that I said, this person, I hold offense. No, you not get me. I don't hold offense against anybody. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So I'm still hitting on this issue of profile, even though I've preached it, because I know that it is so easy to miss the target. The believer is so violent. See, the Bible says, if the spirit that rose Jesus from dead, that same spirit worketh in your mortal bodies. Do you know what it takes to bring somebody from dead? Do you know the kind of volcano that you are sitting on? If you open your mouth, do you know the lies you can consume with it? Are you on the same page? So the kind of authority God has given to the believer, if he doesn't train you in the use of it, you will end up messing people's life. So, lesson number one, profiling. I want to ask you, have you found the one who is doing you? Hallelujah. Ella Patrick, am I asking the right question? Have you found the one who is doing you? Leave that auntie alone. No? She is just a proxy. Leave her alone. She will find a way to deal with her. Her own is by deliverance. You pray for Holy Ghost encounter. Now, when she sleep, when the Holy Ghost slap her, she will come out of her madness. So Paul placed a curse on them and said, you shall be blind for a while.
He didn't say you'll be blind for the, said you shall be blind for a while, so that in that blindness your eyes will be open in the spirit, then you know who you are fighting. And when that blindness hit the man, I believe that by the time he came back, I'm sure he became an evangelist. From what he has suffered, he learned his lessons. So Paul didn't kill him, he rather gave him some small taste of what God can do to him. And when that happened, that man realized that, hey, I must behave. Please, I said, go and find the one who is doing you. Your auntie is innocent. Go and find her. Hallelujah. Now, when we are done profiling and we find our true adversary, lesson number two is knowing the plots and tactics of that adversary. And this is what Apostle Paul called device and wiles. It is not enough to know the one behind the scene. Your next step is to know his plots and not tactics. And I'm going to explain why. Hallelujah. Now let's take devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 to 11. Hallelujah. Is the media ready to project or I should read? Yeah. He said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. Now, most time people confuse devices and wiles as one thing. They are not the same. So we are going to look at them. What is a device? The Greek word used in this context as device is called the word pneuma, N-O-E-M-A. Pneuma. This refers to thoughts, purposes, intentions, designs, or plots. Do you get it? The focus here, when we talk of devices, is on what Satan intends to achieve through his schemes. So if the devil comes with his schemes, he's attacking you, what does he want to achieve? When your father, as I said, the example I gave, the devil was using him to cause you that pain and inflict that pain. The question is, what did he intend to achieve? Now, Joseph gave us an explanation to how devices work. He told his brother that you meant it for what? For evil. But God, what? Meant it for what? Good. So the reason why they threw him into the pit, because they meant it for evil. That was the device. The reason why he went into the pit was because they meant evil for him. The reason why they sold him was because they meant that when he sold, evil will fall on him. They want him to suffer what evil can do. So when we talk of device, we are talking about plots, designs. The Bible says that the things that are formed, fashioned against you. So it is fashioned against you, to that is what they want to achieve. Generally, there are three devices of the devil. John chapter 10 verse 10. His first device is to steal. And the devil does not steal your money. He's not interested. He steals your destiny. I always say this thing. For God does not change destiny. He is the one who created destiny. There is a person who changes destiny. His name is what? The devil. And you too, you can change your destiny. Yes, you are permitted to change it. So the whole picture or the whole scenario here is that his reasons of attacking you, the reasons of what the devil is doing, is that he wants to what? Steal. Second general orientation is what? To kill. Physical killing is not the interest of the devil. If he's able to kill that destiny, see, there are many things that God can do with you if he kills it, that is all. Do you know the power of scandal? Scandal is the one of the greatest killers I've seen. I hope you've heard the story of Thomas Partey now. I hope you heard the story. That is what we call what scandal can do to you. As it stands right now, you and I, we don't know whether he's guilty or innocent. Oh, lawyer, please, can you determine the matter now? But because an accusation has been levied against him, condemnation has already been given to him. Now, how do you condemn who the Lord has not condemned or the court has not condemned? That's what scandal can do to you. You see, the devil has seen that the young man is rising, and he's not only going to steal his destiny, he's killing that destiny. There's one very popular footballer in Brazil. I think he's still in prison now. That destiny was just killed. Brilliant, killed. So, one of the biggest agenda of the devil, that one of his devices is to what? Kill. The last one is to what? To destroy. These are the three general devices. But we are going to look into details how they break down. This is a tactical. We look at the operational levels of stealing. That's why I said it's a classroom. We must study the operational level of how stealing is what? Manifested. So when it is coming up, he's here to steal. This is a stealing process. So follow me. This class is sweet. We will unmax the enemy. In fact, the whole thing I'm doing is to unmax him. Just as our father taught us, I am unmaxing him. Because the way this guy has mafiaed me some time ago, so I've learned my lessons. And I said, you, what you have done to my life, I will make sure that we unmax you. So, the focus is to what? Destroy something. Now, why is it important to know about the devices of the devil? Follow me. Now, do you know that the advantage of every person in warfare against your adversary is when your adversary is ignorant of why you are attacking them? Let's read the scripture again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. Are we still there? The advantage of your adversary lies in your ignorance about his devices towards you. Listen to what I said. Least Satan should take advantage of what? Of us. You see? He's what? He takes advantage of us. How? For we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. The first strength of the devil against you is when you don't know why he's attacking you. You see, and that is one of the things he does. So if you must be able to read through the line, you know, this reason why I'm suffering this is this. Do you know that a believer who knows why he's going through what he's going through sleeps and relax? And don't you know that problem identified is problem solved? Mathematicians, is that what you say? Problem what? Identified is problem what? So one of the things the devil has mastered is to hide the problem and just be giving you signs, as the medical doctors will. So now, is it, what you can, he will just give you symptoms, confusing symptoms. So today he attacks your finances, it's a symptom. He attacks your health. He attacks this, and then you are confused. What is going on? But the moment you find out that, it is because you said you want to serve God and you respond to ministry, that's why all these things are happening. That is the moment he loses the battle. Because the strength of your adversary is in your ignorance, what you don't know. So Paul said that at least he takes advantage of what? Of us. So when it comes to the devices of the devil, he thrives on ignorance. So when the Bible said, my people perish for lack of knowledge, it also means that they are ignorant of the reason why the enemy attacks them. When you know why the enemy attacks you, it's a solution. As we go on, you're going to see it. So the question is, the things you are suffering, do you know why? The reason why some of us can jump ahead of God is because we don't even know why we are going through this. We pray prayers that is irrelevant. Yes. So one day, Paul came to God and in prayer to Jesus said, for this thing have I prayed 3 times, that the Lord will lift up this affliction. Then he told him that my heart is of. Then he explained to him. He said that now, therefore, even though we are hot, beaten, we are pressured, but we are not hot, forsaken. Now he begins to accept it, that the beatings and everything is going through, there is a reason to it. Finally, he said that, let no man trouble me, for I bear the mark of Christ. It was for him to bear the mark. It was for the apostleship, that what is in him. So he said, there are these earthen treasures in earthen vessels. He knew that some of these things were to unearth those treasures in him. So when they were doing it, do you know why Paul was able to go boldly towards Jerusalem when they told him that you'll be arrested? Because he knew that that arrest and persecution is what will take him to Rome, the emperor, and that's how the gospel was, will go to Rome. So Paul was the first person to stand before Caesar, not the one here, and preach the gospel to him. Caesar said he's mad, the things he was saying. But that's how the gospel entered the palace. Somebody was saying, hey, Paul. And that is why he died. Nero killed him. Because of that. The question is, do you know why you are suffering what you... That attack, do you know why? The devil's strength is in your ignorance. So when you are ignorant about how he attacks, why he's attacking you, then he gains what? Strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must know in details what are his purpose for his action. So when the devil comes with his schemes, you must ask, why is he doing it? You see, if you have watched movies on military and all this intelligence, you see that this picture is just plain as I'm talking to you. When this terrorist that ever terrorized America, Osama bin Laden, attacked, do you know that they did not only, do you know how they were able to arrest him? Because they knew the reason why he attacked America. His reason is because America has corrupted the Middle East with foreign culture, with their dressing, and they are stealing their oil. When America discovered that intention, they were able to know his allies and the people he was collaborating with to do this, and that is how they track him down. That's how they track him down. So it was his intention that revealed what? His weakness. So they just start setting traps for him. Setting traps for you. Because if this is the purpose, so they'll set a trap for you, the bait. Then they'll get an information. And they track him with that. And broke down all his systems he has built over years. According to research, it took him over 15 years to be able to mastermind what he did. 15 years. Somebody spent 15 years of his life for one day action. Yes. That's how the devil can do. When the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you. Do you understand fashioned? If you want to understand fashion, then you have to go to those who are designers, not tailors and seamstress. I mean, designers. See, they fashion it. Means that every measurement, everything counts. And when the devil succeeds to fashion a weapon against you and you don't work against it, then you know that this one, it is meant for you. You know it is meant for you. He goes to sleep because he has finished you. Let's move on. Now let's look at the wows. That is a very powerful one. Are we learning something today? Okay. So I'm doing the introduction to today, what we're going to be looking deeply. Many believers play games with devices. I'll come back to it. Now let's look at wows. The Greek word for wows, which is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, is methododia. We call it methods. M-E-T-O-T-H-O-D-E-I-A. So the methododia. That's how they call it in Greek. What does this mean? It means methods, schemes, strategies, cunning plans, or deceptive what? Tactics. Now, the focus here is how Satan what? Operates. It is not enough to know why he's attacking. You must know how he's what? Attacking. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to the wows, which I want to spend time on, the instruction Paul gave us concerning the aspect of wows is not about being ignorant. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 11. Let's look at what he said. With the device, God made it clear that we should not be ignorant. That means that knowledge is required. So a believer who does not build knowledge in the operations of the devil, it's not that we acknowledge, we have knowledge of what he's doing. We are not ignorant about his purposes against our life. You don't act like there's no a true enemy. You recognize an adversary and you recognize what he wants to do, he seek to devour. That is when you know his devices. So devices are able to succeed against you in your heart, ignorance. But as long as you are enlightened, that is why light is weapon. In the book of Romans, he calls it weapon of what? Light. Light, revelation, light is a weapon. So as much as light you acquired in the things of God, it also brings light to what the devil does. And therefore you are able to what? Expel darkness. The purposes of the kingdom of darkness is, but when it comes to how he maneuvers things, let's look at what Paul said. Let's read. Whilst, finally, brethren, be strong in the heart, in the Lord, and in the power of what? His might. Verse 11, the next one is what? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Stand against the heart, the wiles of the devil. So when it comes to the wiles, we thought, we take a stand. When it comes to the devices, we grow in knowledge. Now, whenever the devil, I say the wiles is what? How he operates. If you don't take a stand against how the devil operates, that operation will work on you. And how do we take a stand? He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. Now let's look at how Satan operates. Let's look at the wiles. The first thing that must be established to the believer is that the devil knows that he stands no chance against the believer because of the finished work of Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. You see, one of the things you have to respect about the devil is that he knows what he needs to know. He's a very intelligent being. And one of the things he knows and admits is that he doesn't stand any chance against any person who is born again because of the finished work of Christ. Having disarmed principalities, do you hear that? And powers, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, the key word is what? Disarmed. So he's armless. He has no arm. When it comes to a believer and a person is born again in Christ, there is not any weapons right now in his storehouse that can work against you. I don't know if you get it. Oh, let me help you. But you know the difference between mosquito spray, right? Eh? And weedicide. Good. Imagine you use weedicide on a mosquito. Will it work? Oh, help me. Will it work? What has happened to Lucifer is that if we are mosquitoes, all mosquito repellent and spray and quell, they've taken it from him. The means to produce them, the resources to produce them are all being taken. So practically, mosquitoes now are free from any activity of him. Do you understand? So he may have weed inside. He doesn't have anything that can deal with mosquito. That is what the devil has become when it comes to what? The believer. Do you get the picture now? Good. Now, the believer is in Christ and Christ is in the believer. As the Holy Spirit living in what? In the world. What happens is that Jesus, who has disarmed him and has taken away everything from him, what he has done is that he right now lives in the believer, and the believer also what? Lives in him. Now read this scripture from 1 John chapter 4 verse 4. Talks about what is working in you. Now watch this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Do you get it? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is what? So you understand why we have overcome him. Because of what? He who is what? In you. That is what secures you inside. Now what position you is in Romans chapter 8 verse 31. I want to show you. The devil knows these things. But why does he still want to attack the believer? And how does he succeed against the believer? That's why I'm leading you to. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Continue. Is it verse 31 or verse 32? Let's start from verse 31. Hallelujah. At this point, they want me to read by myself. That's 31. Let's go to 32. I can't see the 32. I can't see the 31. So let's go to the 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Watch. Watch what it says. Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also what? Risen. Who is even at the right hand of what? God, who also makes intercession for what? For us. All this thing I've said talks about where the believer is. He's with God. God is in him. The devil knows very well that when it comes to Jesus, anything that he had as his strength has been taken from him. So he will not even bother himself trying to attack you in your place of what? Protection. Now what is? Because of this thing, do you know that even a newborn believer today, in his position and his status, is not a match for the devil? The devil fears a newborn believer today because of what Christ has done. But the question, how can the devil still attack the believer? If he knows this, how does he do it? Having realized that he had no chance to at us as long as we remain in Christ, which is our position, what he does is that he finds a way to make sure that you abandon your heart, your position. So if this is your place of protection, what he does is that he will take you from that place and bring you to a place where you don't have that protection. Are you following me? Are you following me? So this is what Apostle Paul called the wiles. So the schemes, anything that devil will do to make sure that you shift from your position in Christ, is what we call it, wiles. Those things is what gives him the strength to be able to what? Achieve his what? His purposes, his devices against you. So it's not like the devil is strong against the believer. No. He's smart and he knows what to do to shift you from your place of protection. Now, do you notice that Psalm 92 always speaks so loud to everybody? He that doth dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then you see all that was listed over there. So the question is, if you don't do all the other things to you, just negate all the state. But you've all done what we call, what is it? Statement of the, what is that topic? I've forgotten it again. The mathematicians will help us. Logical reasoning. Do you all remember logical reasoning? So if I say that Kofi is coming, the negative statement is that Kofi did not come. So if you don't abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if you don't dwell in the secret place, the pestilence, you shall kick stone. In fact, every 1,000 shall fall on you and 10,000 on you. Because you do not dwell there. So the devil knows very well that he is not a match to any born again Christian in their secured place. So he has to scheme. He has to use tactics. He must know his tactics that can make sure that you, where you are, you abandon it. And I'm going to show you how he does it. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, it will be a disaster for any believer to undermine how the devil operates. So how the devil operates is just simple: to make sure that you abandon your position, your current position. That's how he operates. And many believers undermine it. Do you know that he's a master tactician in shifting people from their position? Do you know why Peter, in his admonition, let's read 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Let me show you something there. The devil has proven himself on occasions in scriptures of how he can tactically move you from your location, your security. We will examine one scenario today and then we will close. Then we will come and tackle the operational wiles and devices next week. You will see them. I'm going to show you. Oh, okay. Elder AB, I think you have to read for me again. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. Hallelujah. Today, the devil doesn't want me to expose him. Everything wants to be disorganized, but he lies. I will say it. Oh, Jesus. Can you get him the microphone? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to what it says. Be sober. Be vigilant. Do you see the two things he said?
Yeah.
Did he say fight? He said be what? Sober and what? Vigilance. That means that watch out for what? Schemes. Watch out for what? Something that the person wants to do. Why? He's a master tactician. The guy knows that if he's not able to move you from your place of security, he doesn't stand a chance. So he plays on your ignorance. He makes sure that at the blind side of you. Why is it that when the man sowed the good seed, the enemy waited till it was night? If he had the strength, if he was somebody who can stand face to face with the man, who could have also come in the day and sowed the tent. But the Bible said, when men slept, so at the point where they were not vigilant, that is when he decided to what? Sow the tent. The devil does not stand a chance against you. He is a zero pretending to be a hero. He's nothing. But if you undermine his tactics, you will know that he's something. If you undermine his wiles, that schemes. So the plot is to what? The things he wants, the purpose for which he's playing his tactics on you. So if you see certain things happening, you look at the tactics. And you know, and I'm going to show you the syndicates how they operate. You will do it. Your enemy what? Seeking to what? Devour. So you see the plot over there. The plot is to what? Devour you. But how do you know this plot? Is you have to monitor his what? His schemes. Be vigilant. Be what? Sober. So the devil knows very well that he cannot stand against you. So he must. And let me show you one of his tactics. Let's go to the book of Numbers. The story of Balaam and the people of Israel. Let me show you a master tactician. The devil. I respect him as an adversary. Respect him. Don't think he's a fool. He's not a fool. Even the Bible has not called him a fool. Check his scriptures. The Bible has never called him a fool. The Bible has called a lot of people a fool, even including Christians. All foolish Galatians. But the devil, God has never called him a fool. Even God respects him as an adversary. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Can you imagine God having respect for another thing he created, that thing can share the same treatment he's giving? Maybe you don't understand that statement. Let me break it down for you. What it means is that what you can equally give to God, or what God takes fully, mammon receives the same thing. So at a given time, it's either mammon you are worshipping, or you are worshipping God. So even God respects him as an adversary. How much more you? That's even that God acknowledges him, that he's capable of. He respects him. That this guy is too brilliant. And he created him. They said he was the best of all. Look at how he created him. So it will be a foolish thing of us to undermine his tactics. The believer's problem is that we play with the wiles of the devil. That's why we think that there's no need to stand. You're joking with standing. Because you think that there's no need to what? To stand. You see the goalpost and you know that the devil, he can do things. Watch here. Balaam's story. Balaam, by the corruption in him, through covetousness, agreed to do a devilish work for King Balak against the people of Israel. How did I know? Numbers chapter 24, verse 1. You know, he made several attempts to secure advantage for King Balak to prevail against Israel in war through sorcery. People didn't know that. Let's read Numbers chapter 24, verse 1. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, help me, let's read that place. He did not go as at the other times. What were the other times he was going now? Let's see. To seek to use what? Sorcery. So all the other times that Balaam went after Israel, he seek to use what? Sorcery. But whenever he went, so that God didn't permit him. You know, we always say this, that the permissive will of God even allowed demons to operate. Yes, that is the permissive. So there are things that God will allow the devil to fool around. But when it came to this thing, Balaam saw that all the attempt he made, to the devilish attempt to give advantage to what? You don't know. You see, that is one of the schemes. They can use sorcery to disadvantage you. You see, Balaam didn't ask Balaam to come and kill Israel. He said, just make sure that I have advantage over them by cursing them. The word curse means you are empowered to fail. Do you get it? All that your auntie can do is to just go to some source and tell them, make sure that everything this guy will do will be cost 90. Quadratic equation is always equal to zero. I always ask myself, why do you always equate quadratic equation to zero? Why? They must answer that question. You see huge figures with all kinds of powers raised to the power 4 and 3, and they'll tell everything is equal to zero. Sometimes I ask myself, why? But that is how the devil. So the devil empowers. So Balaam was just there to make sure that Israel can wage all the warfare they want if they want to fight against the Midianites. But they will fail. That is what we call scheme, tactics. When he tried all this tactics, it didn't work. He stopped. Why did he stop? It failed because he confessed that the positioning and who is among the people of Israel secures them that nobody cannot defeat them. Numbers chapter, let's read Numbers chapter 23, verse 8 and 9. Follow me. So how can, watch, do you know who Balaam is? I've already mentioned his name here. Balaam is a descendant of Abraham. The children of Keturah and the other wives of Abraham after Sarah. Balaam is a great grandchild of Abraham. Now the Bible said that he blessed them with what? Blessings, things. Do you know that Abraham was a very highly prophetic man, very deep person? The Bible did not specify whether it was only physical or spiritual things he blessed them. But to me, I know how he blessed Lord Jacob. How did he bless Jacob? Words, spiritual words, right? So it's possible that Abraham's blessing he gave unto those children were blessings that has to do with what? Certain spiritual release, prophetic dimensions. Midian was one of his grandchildren. So Balaam was able to leverage on family gifts naturally in his bloodline as a prophet, and then he commercialized it through sorcery. So if God needs him, somebody can hear God and at the same time use sorcery, that is a commercial man. He knows how to do the job. There are a lot of Balaams in the system. You think Balaam was a prophet? He was a sorcerer. As you read in Numbers chapter 24, the guy was a sorcerer. But the guy, you see, the source of the sorcery was using an already inherited family what? Blessing from his grandfather, the prophetic. That's what I always say. If somebody is born again, like me, where my grandfathers were chief priests of Nogokpo, you don't teach me the word of God and don't build me, I promise you, I'll use Nogokpo to prophesy to you the rest of your life. That is the inheritance. Oh, you don't know? I can use it. Yeah, unknowingly. Or if I even know, I can. That's when I'll commercialize it. If you want God, I'll give you God. If you want Nogokpo, I'll give you Nogokpo. Whatever way you want, I can miss them. How do they even call that one? I'll serve it to you like a smoothie. You enjoy it. Everything is inside. You enjoy it. That's what. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Do you understand? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? Verse 9. Watch what he said. He's confessing why he couldn't work. For the top of the rocks, I see him. He's talking about Israel. So it was the positioning he saw. And from the hills, I behold. So look at the places. So he went to start at advantageous place, trying to find a loophole to break through. And he couldn't find anything in Israel. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Now let's go to the verse 23. Listen to what he said over there, verse 23. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against what? Israel. A master of divination and sorcery said that by the position from the hills and the mountains and the rocks that I stood upon. You know, hills and rocks are advantageous landmarks. Now, when you build on a hill in Accra here, and we are in this season of where God wants us to become fishers of men, fishing in the water. Those on the hills, have you heard Makati Hill flooded before? Please, have you heard Makati Hill? Apart from Lagos Hills, the rest of the that's the only hill that can be flooded. So naturally, landmarks, those on top of mountains, on the rocks, on the hill, are advantageous landmarks. When they are there, they see everything. They can do anything to you. But he went on all these natural advantages. So he said, people can go to. That's why I don't know why you are so afraid. No matter where the devil goes, as long as you are in your position, he will say, there's no divination. No, the reason is because of what he saw. Now he said, for the shout of the king is what? In their midst. So let's look at what he did. Let's move on. What happened? Now, by the tools of his trading, see, Balaam didn't give up. The guy needed the money because the condition was that until you are able to make sure that I defeat these people, whatever reward I promise you will not come. The covetousness of Balaam. So, in as much as he has tried all the sorcery, didn't work, he now went for another dimension. What did he do? He went to find out what other tactics is left in the archives of what? His boss. To give unto what? Balak. Then he can secure what he wanted to receive. Let's read Revelation chapter 12 verse 14. Then we'll go to Numbers chapter 31 verse 16. I said, I'm talking about what? Tactics. Can you imagine that Balaam has tried all these things? It didn't work. Now let's watch what he did. Revelation chapter 12. That's it, 12. Sorry. Chapter 2, verse 14. Watch. Revelation 2, 14. But I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of what? Teachings. You see? One of the tactics. Who taught Balak? It so now when he couldn't do the divination, he now came to teach Balak some of the tactics that works to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. How they do it? To eat things sacrificed to what? Idols, and commit sexual immorality. So the guy went for further studies into the wickedness and the tactics of the devil, and found out that whenever these people can be dealt with, you have to make them contaminate themselves. So the principle of what? Contamination. Now let the contamination be done in two ways. Contamination by idolatry and contamination by what? Fornication. Now the God itself is a God of holiness, because he told them, be ye what? Holy, for I am what? Holy. Now when they contaminate themselves, automatically they will be withdrawn from their position of strength, making them what? Vulnerable. You see how the devil got them. Now read Numbers chapter 31 verse 6. The highest murder that went on in Israel in their journey on the whole desert, even when they became a nation, happens in Numbers chapter 24 and 25. They said a day God killed, it took Eleazar who used a spear to kill them who were still doing it whilst they were begging God for mercy before God's anger stopped. This is Numbers chapter 31. Listen to what it said. Then Moses sent them to the war, and thousands from each tribe. Give me verse 16. Let's move to verse 16. This was when they went to kill the Midianites. God never permitted the people of Israel to attack their cousins. Midianites are their cousins. But because of this thing that Balak and Balaam did, God gave permission to kill their cousins. Verse 16. Look, this is Moses speaking. These women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of what? Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of what? Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of what? Plague. Tactician. The whole tactic is that he wants to make sure that Israel lose as much as they can, to make them immobile, to make them militarily weak, to stand against the people of what? Midian. How did the tactics work? Contaminate them through what? Fornication and through what? Why is the devil trying to make sure that you remove your pant? Have you asked yourself? We will come there. You see, that struggle you are struggling. There's one. You see, confession time. Hallelujah. Don't look at me as if you are an innocent soul. You are not innocent. You are not just guilty. In the university, level 200, the fire was really burning in my soul. There was this lady who was in our class. From nowhere, she started coming close to me. I finished my course rep work in level 200, yeah, so you understand. But I used to preach in the class. So this sister came to me to just come and share some of her struggle with me. You know, as a pastor, we want to pastor every... See, let me advise you. It's not everybody can pastor. Oh. You end up being... you pastor their children too. Oh. Advise yourself. Oh. So, you know, that was the time too that Daddy was teaching us about... 2014. Daddy was teaching us the ministry... Foundations of Ministry. 2014, 2015, if you remember. Foundations of Ministry. That's a retreat. So I was really shocking it when Daddy was talking about the things that I suffered. That time, crazy, because we didn't have anything to do than books and prayer. You understand? Then this girl was coming. Ah, so far. Anytime I'll sit with this girl, then my somewhere is trying to speak to me. Oh, Lord. I ignored that I'm anointed. Hot at that old mountain before the revival. You shall become a plain land. But the mountain is becoming bigger. See, it got to a point that I saw that the conversation begin to dilute. And dilute. So, how the thing was doing me? I need help. He has forgotten. I called him on campus. And I told him I was coming to Lagos. He didn't know I was running for my life. Till now, he didn't understand why I came to Lagos by force. Left lectures. I came to spend 4 days there. Because I need to be sorted out. And while I was there praying, I realized that the devil was coming for the anointing on my life because of what I was going to do in UCC. 2 years later, I became the prayer director of the chaplaincy. I became the MPF president. And by the grace of God, raised many young guys who are men of prayer. Today, many of them still... When I came back, I didn't know what happened. The lady instantly didn't like me again. Started going back. Then I realized that there are tactics in the game. Like, by this time, your pastor is not you. Oh, mother flat. I'm gone. You see, that thing is trying to roll us. That pressure is a tactics. Because where you stand, there's no divination, enchantment that can get you. So they must use a scheme. Plot and tactics. I pray for you. May you not fall victim to their tactics. Some of you, it is that Benku. That Apostle Paul, I pray for you. Mercy on your head. If you don't take care, you eat one jollof. That jollof is where? Papa Jollof. And then you see. Oh, hallelujah. Today, remind me that I'll tell Osofu Jewel's wife one of the story we kept. You remember that story, no? Yes. Yeah. We have a story for you. We will not tell the church. We will tell you. Today, we ask, it is God who saved him. And he has to thank us. Ella, please don't worry. You hear the story. It is an advantage. Hallelujah. So, when Israel went into eat, you see, Paul was teaching about idolatry. He said, even if you eat the food of idols, it means that you have also fellowship with idols. And they knew that the first commandment is that worship no any other God out apart from me. So he made sure that they contaminated themselves and what? So when we talk about wiles of the devil, it is the tactics you use to shift you from your place of protection. He has been doing this. He did it to Eve and Adam. He did it to them. He succeeded with your grandfather. How much more if you are not smart? So Peter said, be what? Be vigilant and be sober. Because the guy, the tactics, they are always revised. He changed the names. He changed the mood. He knows your taste, your preferences. He used it to form the tactics against you. He knows you like fair women. He knows it. That's why all your spiritual daughters are fair. He knows you like the slim things, you know. So all the daughters he will send to you are there. We have been through it. Those of you who want to hurriedly enter into relationship, if God has not helped you, every day you'll be repenting. I surrender. That will be your prayer. If you don't take care, you think we are stopping you. You surrender and keep surrendering. See, the thing is, he wants to steal the time. So once you're supposed to make some impact, all you are doing is you are repenting every day. Every day you are repenting.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, be strong in the Lord. That is it. So when it comes to the wiles of the devil, you have to be what? Strong in the Lord. Paul's admonition to be strong in the Lord is to help the believer to deflate that tactics of the devil to move you from your place of strength so he can legally touch you. To be strong in the Lord is simple. Absolute reliability on God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. What? Absolute reliability on God. Without, see, some of you think you are too smart. Eh? You are too smart. When the devil, God said, flee, you said, I'll pray. Today, why am I talking about this thing too much like that? Ah. Something that the Bible has advised you that flee, not fly, or flee. Means disappear before it even comes. Flee fornication. You say, I will pray against fornication. You cast it out. God be your help. You see, absolutely. So, see, people who does not rely on the word of God, absolutely. See, if you are not principled in scriptures, the wiles of the devil will get you. The decision you are taking, can we trace it into the principles and scriptures? Because you tell that, oh, this is school life. Oh, this is school life. You there, you are too spiritual. Have you heard that story before? Too spiritual. Everything Bible. Why? Didn't God give you head? Now, why he gave? Why did he add the Bible to it and the Holy Ghost? If my head was enough, you wouldn't have had the Holy Ghost. You get it? Won't you use your head? We'll use the head in line with the Holy Ghost. The head must function by the directions of the Holy Ghost. We are not saying that Christians don't think. We think. But our thinking is thinking along the what? The Bible. So if God has not said, we are not doing it. If God has said, we have to verify which one of the God said we are talking about. Because they can change wording and rearrange the word. So please, being strong in the Lord simply means absolute reliability on God. If you don't learn to master that, the devil will shift you. He will shift you. He will push you from your goalpost. He will use his schemes and he will get you. Some people, when opportunity comes, do not pray about it too. When they see what comes with opportunity, that's what I always say. Some of our sisters, I've been talking about our brothers. Let me give to our sisters too now. When it's a Christian brother who is not even having one wheel of a bicycle, and he comes to say, oh, sister, God has laid it on my heart to come and then speak to you. I'm interested in you. It will be like the story of Nathan Ebasi. Trumpet. Many of our sisters are not spiritual. It is only those people that will tell them that I want to go and pray and ask God. But when it comes to the one who came to park Camryo, this is what the Lord has done. When he comes and he looks good, means that it is of God. The question I asked, did you accept the proposal because he was looking good? Because his CV is rich. Master's in this. He's a lawyer. He's a doctor. And what even breaks my heart is that he's in abroad. How they have used that one to disqualify many of our brothers, eh? May you be a bugger in the name of Jesus. Elder, it's not easy, yo. Those of us who are boggarless. Oh, Jesus. So when it came to that, dear, you don't know God. This is the answer. That is how you end up with part-time boxer, part-time minister. So absolute reality. See, when that, because you, that could be one of the tactics. That you bring such a person around. Some of you don't move you to abroad. Some of you are here. Eh, you want to travel. Do you know the devil can open doors for you? You are disturbing too much prayers. Securing your territories around you. If he can send you to USA that he can take all your time, he will open that door for you fast. Then you leave. Any door that opens you that you cannot serve God is not from God. Mark my word. Any door that opens unto you that will not let you serve God better, it is not God though. It is either your gift or senior man open it for you. He will lock you there. He will throw the key away. And the way he locks you, you don't even realize, because he will be giving you more. It is like alcohol, you know. The more you drink, the more you are in the realms. Yeah, you are going higher. When it comes off your eyes, you realize that, oh, you are still here. Let's give a clap of it unto the Lord. You see, these things I'm talking about, I think, so that if we really understand this thing, the devil has no any strength against us. So his tactics are just good. The guy is a good coach. Guardiola, Pep Guardiola, A1. Wicked. He will play the formation against you. That's why I said weapons fashioned. The word, that's what that word. I always said, God didn't choose any word. Fashioned means that it was designed for you. So take a stand. A standing believer is a mature believer who is settled in God's truth and is not easily moved. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. I'll close very soon. I just want to give you three things about testing whether you are standing. Because I said when it comes to the devices, he said you should be what? Knowledgeable. So the question is, how? That's what I ask you. Do you know why the person who is doing you is doing you? That's all. If you know why the person is doing you, you are okay. Do you understand? Yes. As David discovered the very day that Absalom was after his throne, after him because of the throne, David was settled. And you know where it was. Now he cursed the where the advice was coming, said, let the counsel of Ahithophel be what? Made nonsense. Because he found out that it was the throne. And when he got it, he was able to deal with the scheme. But when it comes to the device, you have to stand. Absolute reliability in the Lord. So who is a standing believer? Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Rabbi, read that one for me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I'll read this one. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be what? Be strong. A strong believer, a matured believer, is the one who is able to what? Stand fast. That is absolute reliability or not on God. Nothing moves the person. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. What did he say?
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free.
You see it? Stand fast, what? In the liberty that Christ has made us what? Free. So another way to test that you are standing is to find how much of your liberty is going away. Am I revealing something to you here? You see, when you are born again, you understand. Now, look at how your life is. Are you still in the liberty of Christ? What revelations and acquaintance and things that have been used to bind you and tie you? Are you following me? Oh, the things, the way I used to pray. The moment you start to say that, you have to investigate and find if you are still standing in the liberty Christ has given you. So another way to know that you are standing, the first one is that you are strong. Be strong means that you are able to what? That's about. But when we find out that your liberty is under threat, it means that you are not standing. So you can be able to verify to know that you cannot withstand the wiles of the devil when your liberty is what? Fully secured. Is your life lived on scriptures? Or you see, okay, let me give you two things that shows that when your life is not lived on the principles of scriptures, you are not, your liberty is gone. If all that you believe in is because the government said and the news said, your counselor is TikTok, Facebook, which other one? Snapchat. That is where you take marriage counseling from. Men are not good. Men are scum. Now women are me again. Now who's come who first in the Bible? Between man and woman, who's come who first? Carissa. Yeah. So yeah, men ask, who's come who first? You taught us. We have mastered it. Simple. We are giving it back to you. Give and shall be given unto you. Press down. So we are just fulfilling scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. So is it what your liberty is known? What your life now is not about. So for we did Bible or someone. I didn't know they named the echo. So I remember somebody when my father was not feeling well. So if it's not Christ, now what else? If Christ cannot do it, nobody can do it. It means my time is up. Let me go. Your liberty is when your life is shifting from scriptures. Another test of liberty is when you are running from the church. That's another three. Let me wrap up. We are tired. Let me close. You are tired. Three things about standing believer. Number one, a standing believer remains established or firm in what Christ has already accomplished. You see, your grounds is on what Christ has already accomplished. Nothing more, nothing less. So it's already told that you have to come and offer a pigeon before your deliverance can be complete. If you are a standing believer, you will not do that. Oh, you have to soak you in a zomi and put cassava leaves in it. If you are a standing believer, you will not go that. Christ has... I don't forget the picture I'm painting. Some of you, they can give you a quantra and they told you go and stand at T-junction 12 a.m. and go naked. Are you okay? When did Christ accomplish that one? On Calvary. So let's hang you on the tree now. You get the picture now. So a standing believer is the one who remains in the things that Christ has accomplished. Four things. He remains in the spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. That's why the book of Ephesians is so powerful in this whole thing. He remains in the spiritual blessings. He has blessed you. So your blessing is spiritually wired. So you don't count yourself blessed because of material blessing. You count yourself blessed because of the spiritual things that wait. So your pursuit is not material. Your pursuit is in the spiritual things. Looking unto things that are not. So if you see a believer's pursuit, you know where he's standing. You know where he's standing. Number two, seated in what? Heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says, the believer knows where he's seated. He's not now looking for a seat. He knows where he's what? Seated. That means that he knows his place of authority. So these are the people that know that where they are planted. They don't move from house to house. Jesus called it moving from what? House to house. Anyone who is moving from house to house is the person who is not standing. When a believer is truly standing, he knows where he's seated. He knows his place of authority. Number three. Accepted in the beloved. You know, some people can never accept the love of Christ. And you know that if you don't accept that love, finally, redeemed and forgiven. A grounded Christian knows that he has been redeemed and is forgiven. There is no way you can bombard him with any accusations. He's going to my devil. You can say millions. You tell, oh, but this thing Jesus has paid. So a standing Christian is a Christian who is established and firm in the things Christ has already accomplished. If you are not firm in these things, the wiles of the enemy will get you. And as I'll show you the syndicate, when I show you, you see how they get you, so simple. Sometimes bread and cuckoo cry in you. Number two, a standing believer remains steadfast and refuses to give up upon which position that he's been positioned. A standing Christian remains steadfast and refuses to give up, which is he does not retreat. Number one, surrender or abandon his assignment or where he's assigned. Do you know why? When somebody say that this I said I'll do the work of God, I'll not do it again. I said I'll come to church, I'll not come to church again. It's a clear evidence that that person is not standing. That person is not strong in the Lord. If you are strong in the Lord, you know that we are marching as a unit. In the book of Joel chapter 2, he said, they march and nobody breaks rank. Whenever a believer forfeits his place of standing, I mean in Christ, you create a loophole for the enemy to infiltrate. So do you know that one person's mistake can cause all of us here? Paul said that you have left that one who is sleeping with the father's wife in, among you. And for because of that, you people, the Lord's anger is on you. Somebody is sleeping with the father's wife. Others are bearing the weight with him. He said, remove him among you. So when one person abandons his post, so a strong believer knows that if I don't take my stand at where God has positioned me, at where I am, the rest of the team will suffer. So they remain steadfast. They don't give up. They don't retreat. They don't surrender. Small thing, may I not do it again. Those of you have been threatening us. You're not serious. You're not standing. The devil is getting you. The moment you start threatening us, may I not do it again. Me, I have stopped. Me, I will not do it again. Last one. A standing believer easily resists the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm done. Today I've told you. It is not enough to know who your adversary is. You must know his devices and what. Wow. Plot and tactics. So when it comes to the plot, you must be knowledgeable about his plot. When it comes to his tactics, you must learn to what? Stand. That one has nothing to do with knowledge. It has to do with your ability to stand. That is why you don't need to know. You know, there are some people right now, they have learned to stand that fornication is afraid of them. Do you know there are certain things, the moment the devil realizes that you will never do them, he will not even tempt you with them. When was the last time you were tempted with alcohol? You know, that's somebody's temptation. When he smells men of, that is all. Yes. But you, as the devil, would he even bother? Because if he puts you in the midst of drunkards, you shall fear no evil. Because you have learned to what? Stand. So you not even bother. There are certain things that the devil will not bring into your life because he knows that it is a failure by heart. I pray for you. You see, we can only prevail in this warfare when we know the tricks, the tactics of this man. Let's lift up our voice and pray that, Lord, help us to stand. Sometimes our school, the things we have heard, the things we have seen, will make us feel and think that, oh, we can be smarter than God. We can be smarter. We want to learn one way or the other. Go this way. Plan things this way. No. I want you to lift up your voice and pray. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. It's not easy to stand, though. It's not easy. Be strong in the Lord. Absolute reliability. Sometimes we think we know that we don't need God. You are not the first to miss it. Gideon missed it. Joshua also missed it. A group of people came to Joshua, and that day Joshua thought that by the things he has seen, that's why they all said, no man after the flesh. Joshua looked at their tattered clothes, looked at everything, and concluded, indeed, these people, what we're saying was true. But later on, when he went to God, he found out that they deceived him. How many things do we think that by our five senses? That is why the believer must always pray Ephesians chapter 1. That the wisdom of God, that you will know your discernment, you must be sharp. Everything, in everything, acknowledge the Lord. In everything, because you don't know what the devil can use as his tactics against you. We are fighting a very tactician, very smart being. We must respect him as an adversary and therefore treat him as such by learning to know how he's plotting and what he's plotting and how he's going to execute it. It took one advice to shut down a whole country. I pray for you. Lift up your voice. Now God will help you. God will help you. He said he put a stumbling block. Any stumbling block that the enemy is putting on your path right now, I pray that it will be kicked out in the name of Jesus. Any teachings, any encounter, any revelation that the enemy is putting on your path as a stumbling block. Oh, Shabrandolo Mokosaya. Yamandala Baba Bosundele Gedele Valasaya. Erebadolo Mokoshele Brandele Masaya Baha. Of host,
a king
of
glory,
Yahweh
Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth.
Oh, the Lord. He's the king. He's the king of war. He is the master strategist. So David said, he taught me. He taught my hand to war and my fingers for battle. Shout his name this morning and say, oh, the God of war. Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh. Yahweh. He's coming to you. Not only to fight for you, but to teach you how to fight. He's coming to train you right now. Against them. Say, no divination, no enchantment. Lord, we pray that you remain with us. Never leave us, oh Lord. Let yourself continuously remain in us. That we continue to deflect the wills of the enemy. Thank you, Father.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.